Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts.
Mark Reardon.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Mark Reardon.
There's all these new words that are just meant to keep one person from disagreeing with another person's position.
And you have to be pithy. What do I mean by pithy? How about this? Republicans want to kill your kids.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
It's so damn hot. Milk was a bad choice.
I feel like we're going to have that, and I won't do this realistically, but I feel like we're going to play that throughout the month of July into August and September. Although I see a little relief, you know, upper 80s for next week and into the 4th of July. My wife and daughter are going to Summerfest in Milwaukee for the 4th of July. So I had Alexa look up the forecast for there. And this is what's crazy. You know what the high temperature like on the 3rd and 4th of July will be up there?
What?
78 degrees, which means at night at the concerts on the lakefront, which is it's a beautiful festival. It's wonderful. It'll be like hoodie weather. We don't get hoodie weather in the summer here in St. Louis ever.
But that's the trade-off for living in Wisconsin with all the snow, right? Some positive.
It's not only the snow, as I always say. The snow is the snow. Actually, you make good use of the snow up there, and they clear it very quickly because you pay so much in property taxes. But it just lingers in April, March, April, May, June,
that's
July.
That's depressing. I couldn't do it.
It is fun to get away from the heat, like up in Door County. A lot of St. Louis people go up there. I used to vacation up there quite a bit. All right, so we have a lot to get to here because Trump is in the Netherlands, and there was a pretty detailed ripping of, and an appropriate ripping, I think, of the legacy media. But look, I have to start with the Cardinals again because they won in dramatic fashion last night, and I missed the whole damn game. I was with a new client last night at dinner. It was a wonderful event. I get out, I turn the game on. It's 8-7 Cardinals, I think, in the bottom of the seventh. But Ethan, you have to set up what happened here with Pete Crow Armstrong, because this was quite something. The play, I don't know, Sue, if you followed this and what happened, but it's interesting the way the Cardinals won this game.
Yeah, so back and forth game throughout. The Cardinals had a couple of big innings. I think the third, fourth, and fifth, I believe it was. And at one point, they were down 5-2. They ride the long ball back to the lead. So at this point, they're leading the game 7-5. There's a runner on second. That's Mason Winn. There's one out in the inning. And Alec Burleson hits a deep fly ball to center field. Pete Crow Armstrong makes the catch. Two outs in the inning. You would expect for Winn to advance on a sacrifice fly from second to third. The problem was that Pete Crow Armstrong, the Chicago Cubs' darling player, is that he forgot that there were
Yeah, so listen to the call here. Yeah, listen to the call.
Fly ball will hit center. Crow Armstrong back to the wall. He's got just enough room. Mason Winn rounding third. PCA forgot how many outs there were. The throw to play late. Wow.
So what happened was is he lackadaisically caught the ball, and he kind of spun around, and he's like, oh, I'm going to head in for the next inning. And then he realized relatively quickly, but with Mason Winn's speed, Yeah, that was a big oopsie. Now, I played a little of this for audio cut of the day. I have to feature this again because John Gruden is in town, NFL coach, you know, legend, if you will, a very, very big character. His nickname, of course, is Chucky, but here's his message to the fans of St. Louis.
You know, a while back, I was in St. Louis, and the Cardinals were 14-19. So I got my rally necklace. I put it on my neck, and guess what? The Cardinals won 9 straight games, and now they're 43-36, 3.5 games out of first, and the Cubs are in town. And the first 20,000 fans, they get their own rally necklace, and we're going to put it on the Cubs, and we're going to close in on first place. So tomorrow night, I get to throw out the first pitch.
Tonight.
And the first 20,000 fans, they get their own rally necklace. Be there Wednesday night. If you're sitting behind home plate, have your head on a swivel, because I could throw a rocket. It's a little off target. Love you guys. Can't wait to see you. Go Cardinals. Nolan Arenado.
Oh, we got to talk about Arenado last night, because if you didn't see this, what happened was it's 8-7, and this is the only part of the game that I saw. Helsley, who makes me nervous all the time, he almost loads the bases, right? But there's this little short hop to Arenado at third. He has to one-hand it, and I can't remember who the Cubs batter was, but he just fires a rocket and ends the inning when it
Dansby
looked like the
Swanson.
Cubs. It looks like the Cubs might take at least tie the game and may even take the lead. And Arenado was just on fire with that, and they were so excited.
And not only did he make a great play, but he had to dodge the runner going from second to third,
right,
which could have interfered with him if he wasn't more careful.
And Mark, you said this earlier, and I'll repeat this. There's one player in Major League Baseball that's making that play.
You know, I saw Mike Claiborne down the hall, and I asked him if there's one player. He goes, maybe Manny Machado. But, man, that was a hell of a play. All right, so let's get to the leak. We have Kilmeade that's coming up here. Andrew Bailey, our attorney general, is also going to join us in the studio at the bottom of the hour. We have a Wednesday edition of Sue's News and a bunch of other stuff like Jerry Baker from the Wall Street Journal. But the report on CNN from last night, and the New York Times ran with this as well, exclusive, early U.S. intel assessment suggests strikes on Iran did not destroy nuclear sites, sources say. Now, I've made it very clear the last couple of days that I'd like to know exactly how much we did destroy, because I've heard this range from 3 months, they could get it going again, to 3 years, to 30 years. So I don't know what the real truth is. I think the Joint Chiefs chair said, look, it's too early to know how deep the damage went. But of course, CNN goes right out of the chute with all their sources and their usual, the folks that we hear from on a regular basis. You're going to hear from some of them right now doing this reporting. So he's asked about this, and Rubio, they're all at this NATO summit, peak head sick. Here's Rubio talking about this.
This is what a leaker is telling you, the intelligence says. That's the game these people play. We dropped 12 of the strongest bombs on the planet right down the hole in two places. Everything underneath that mountain is in bad shape. Now, anything in the world can be rebuilt, but now we know where it is. And if they try to rebuild it, we'll have options there as well. But all this leaker stuff, these leakers are professional stabbers.
Yeah, they're not happy about it. And they cited 7 different sources, but they were all anonymous in this report. So Hegseth got on board, the defense secretary, although Trump said, maybe we should call you the war secretary yesterday. I think he said that right, at least temporarily.
There's a reason the president calls out fake news for what it is. These pilots, these refuelers, these fighters, these air defenders, the skill and the courage it took to go into enemy territory flying 36 hours on behalf of the American people and the world to take out a nuclear program is beyond what anyone in this audience can fathom. And then the instinct of CNN, the instinct of the New York Times is to try to find a way to spin it for their own political reasons, to try to hurt President Trump or our country. They don't care what the troops think. They don't care what the world thinks. They want to spin it to try to make him look bad based on a leak.
I want to make it clear, it is not illegitimate to ask the questions. It really isn't, because we want to know the answers. But I think it's a little too early, and this is what the administration is saying, to know all the answers. But again, they right out of the gate say, we didn't do much here and there's no success. So I think this is Kelly O'Donnell from NBC, because every time he called on someone today, like Aaron Burnett or someone from CNN, he'd say, oh, you know, he does the same thing. Oh, here's a doozy. Wait till this question. So Kelly O'Donnell, and this is a bit of an extended answer from Trump, but he whoops up on him.
Disputing the report said what it said, even though it was initial.
The report said what it said, and it was fine. It was severe, they think, but they had no idea
They shouldn't have issued a report until they did, but we've gotten the information. I think Pete said it better than you can say it. And, you know, you should be proud, you, especially you, should be proud of those pilots, and you shouldn't be trying to demean them.
No, there's
those pilots flew at great risk, a big chance that they'd never come back home and see their husbands or their wives. Let me just tell you,
you can hear in the background saying no one is, you know, debating the skill of the military.
BC fake news, which is one of the worst, and CNN, New York Times are all bad. They're sick. There's something wrong with them. But you know what? You should be praising those people instead of trying to find some. By getting me, by trying to go and get me, you're hurting those people. They were devastated. You know, I got a call from Missouri, great state.
There we go.
And I won three times by a lot. And I got a call that the pilots and the people on the plane were devastated because they were trying to minimize the attack. And they all said it was hit. But, oh, but we don't think it was really maybe hit that badly. And they were devastated. They put their lives on the line, and then they have... And I'm not referring to you, but real scum come out and write reports that are as negative as they could possibly be. It should be the opposite. You should make them heroes and heroines. You should make them really people that they were so devastated when they heard this news. And you know what they said? One of them, I spoke to one of them, said, "Sir, we hit the site. It was perfect. It was dead on." Because they don't understand fake news, because they have a normal life, except they have to fly very big, very fast planes. But it's a shame. You should be making them heroes.
So, look, this is what I addressed the other day when I was watching CNN. It was awkward to watch the CNN coverage Saturday night because they didn't want to praise. And, look, you could over-cheerlead. Did Fox over-cheerlead here? There are legitimate questions about how devastating the strike would be. But, again, the instinct, and I've been fooled too many times, and you, the audience, have been fooled too many times on these reports from CNN and the New York Times. So I appreciate the response on the part of the president. I have a great Scott Jennings clip on this topic that I don't have time to get to here in this first segment, but I do want to put Alfred Montgomery as the sheriff of St. Louis, right? They have the sheriff, they have the police chief, the sheriff deals with transportation to the prison, etc. But this guy, Alfred Montgomery, has been abusing his position. And Andrew Bailey, who will be in studio with us in about 12 minutes, 15 minutes, is calling for his resignation. So the sheriff says,
"Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey issued a public demand for my resignation by noon tomorrow. Not based on proven facts, not based on any court ruling, but on what's been described as widely published and disturbing allegations."
Well, I don't think there's any argument. There shouldn't be any argument that they are disturbing allegations. And we'll get into some of those when Andrew is here and cover some other topics. Look, big victory on the transgender topic last week at the Supreme Court. But he'll be with us in studio. Brian Kilmeade on a Wednesday afternoon for his weekly visit. He's coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, admittedly, the mayor's race in New York City, we didn't spend a whole lot of time on it in the past few weeks, but we did talk about it a little bit, and here we go. The communist won the race last night.
Tonight is his night. He deserved it. He won.
We have done it.
Yeah!
I will be your Democratic nominee for the mayor of New York City.
Oh, my goodness. This guy is a piece of work. The first voice you heard there was Andrew Cuomo, who was, you know, running for this Democratic nomination. Now, typically, like in St. Louis, if you win the Democratic nod, you're the next mayor. I don't know if that's going to hold true here. Brian Kilmeade is with us to weigh in, the co-host of Fox and Friends, the host of One Nation, with Brian Kilmeade on Sundays, 9 p.m. St. Louis time. Brian, welcome back. How are you this week?
How's it going, Mark?
Good. So you get everything for free in New York City. You shouldn't complain. That's what this guy is promising, right?
Exactly, which is going to be great for me because I do want free food. And I don't. And I do want to pay more money in my taxes. That's all things. I'm so tired of having money left over at the end of the month. This will get rid of that worry. What do I spend it on? Now I don't have to worry about that anymore. Because he says the 1% are ruining New York. Does he understand that they have a choice? It's called anywhere in America, including if you don't want, if you have to stay in New York, you don't have to live there. New Jersey, Connecticut, Pennsylvania, all options. And rich people, you might say, well, they can afford it. Rich people got rich because they don't waste money. And they get resentful when people make them the bad guys.
Yeah,
and
they work hard. Right, and they work hard as well. Listen, just a sampling here of his positions.
And our police force should not be assisting ICE.
Defund the NYPD and refund all of these different social services. And
I will create a network of city-owned grocery stores. It's like a public option for produce.
I'll freeze the rent for millions of tenants, make buses fast and free, and deliver universal childcare. And before you ask, I'll pay for it by taxing the rich.
The mayor will use their power to reject Donald Trump's fascism.
So there are a lot of promises there, Brian. Now, as I indicated, conventional wisdom in any urban city in America is if you win the Democrat primary, you are the next mayor. Certainly happened here in St. Louis. But you do have Curtis Sliwa, who is the perennial candidate. And I guess Andrew Cuomo is kind of dabbling with going in as an independent. And then Eric Adams as well. So what do you think actually happens here? Because this guy has not had a ton of focus, certainly not nationally, maybe more so in New York City. Does he get exposed a little bit more here leading up to the general?
Mark, he's going to get blitzed. And there are people, Democrats, who are panicked because they thought, you know, they can marginalize the squad, marginalize Crockett, and just say, you know, we want the Rahm Emanuel types. We want to get Gavin Newsom to pretend to be a moderate, even pretend, you know, with their revisiting pronouns. You know, you have Mayor Pete, I'm taking the pronouns off, right? I'm growing a beard. We're going to not be repellent to men. We're not going to live off green energy and vilify America and support the burning of the flag. And then this guy comes up, and he represents all those things. And he's got the AOC game plan, which is sneak up on an established Democratic candidate, have fantastic social media presence, have a good young team, get energy to knock on doors. All he needed was 400,000 votes in the thick, you know, the most dense city, and I mean be stupid as well as a lot of people, the most dense city in America, and he got 400,000 votes. Cuomo got 367, and he gets the nomination. Now, the way I understand it, I'm not Mr. Ranked Choice Voting, but he got such a substantial victory that nobody thinks that Cuomo's even got a shot in the next round July 1st. And Cuomo, if he runs as independent, it's just been more humiliation. Because it only get worse for him. Adams says he got a ton of calls last night as he revitalized his career thanks to Trump. I don't know really what he did wrong. I think a lot of it is the Democrats targeted him like they targeted Trump. Biden lost his number. He was no longer welcome at the White House. The FBI took his phone. They never found anything except for maybe took some first-class seats from Turkey. And they're trying to build an embassy, and he expedited contracts. But he never got proved he got paid contracts. So having said all that, let's say he's not playing like the perfect game. But now he is somewhat of a left-of-center Democrat who I think got off to an uneven start, but better than de Blasio. And he said to me, I slept 90 minutes last night because he was on our couch today on Fox and Friends. And he now looks at, he used to just, you know, I used to see him at the Al Smith dinner. And he's like, Brian, how you doing? Big fan. I go, can I get you on? Sure. Never answered my call. Never followed up. Then his people said, it doesn't work for us to go on your network. No offense. I'm like, I'm offended. Now he is saying he's coming on. And know what he said at the end of his last visit 3 weeks ago? I'm going to be here regularly if you'll have me. So I go, does it hurt you? My last question, does it hurt you to have Donald Trump supporting you? And he said, I wanted everyone supporting me as possible. He played it kind of straight down the middle. I want to work with the president no matter where he is. I go, but the last president didn't. He goes, I know. So he's letting everybody know I'm going to be, I seem more normal than ever. So he's got a legitimate shot. Curtis Sliwa, they say, if Cuomo stays in, Sliwa has a real edge because Cuomo takes some votes, Adams takes some votes, and then you got Modani takes some votes, and that leaves 28% to get you the victory, and there is 28% Republicans.
So what is the next step in all this? There's something next week, and then the general after that? I'm confused by that.
Democrat. Yeah, okay. It's Frank George voting, so it gives you a second chance. The way I understand it, it's why Brandon Johnson won, because he came in second among the Democratic primary. And when they did it, and they got rid of the fringe and got rid of the bottom half, they did it again, and Brandon Johnson went from second to first. They say that Cuomo, and Cuomo knows it, is going to get beat bad, worse. And then do you say, okay, let me try the general? There's no indication as a general. He's washed up. I mean, I think, you know, forget about 11 harassment claims. Forget about writing a book during the pandemic on how basically it should have said how to ruin the lives of as many people as possible. Like, you know, the retribution, all his stuff. I mean, this guy is the utter definition of defamed and disgraced.
He's walking in the footsteps, I would say, of Anthony Weiner, who tried and tried again, and we know his story. All right, Brian, I have to ask you, I just played some audio at the beginning of the show about the president at The Hague. They're not very happy with this leak story that CNN runs with last night. The New York Times picks it up. Rubio, Hegseth, Trump, whoop up on the legacy media folks. Your thoughts on that from this morning? That got rather hot.
Well, look, let's just forget about what they said. Let's forget about what we now learned. We now know that the AP is reporting that Israel was on the ground, and they say that it's been devastated. How about we now know the IAEA and said the program's been knocked off, and it goes into detail, at least 2 to 3 years, at least. And how about the Israeli? How about the fact that now we find out that the Defense Intelligence Agency says that we have this as the initial report. We know no one's on the ground. We're judging by satellite video, and we have low confidence in the conclusion. So if I got that, and I'm the editor of a newspaper, or if I am the general manager of a newsroom, and they said, well, this just in, my reporter got this story, I would say lead with low confidence, lead with it's one of 17 intelligence agencies, and if you want to write it and you want to say it, say it. But instead, they lead with it, not done as much damage as you thought, very little setback, only 2 to 3 months. Then they leave at the end. Most of these stories lead at the end and have at the end slow confidence of this being
right,
it.
Of course.
Now, this is why Trump keeps a tight circle. This is why when he pushes back on intelligence in Helsinki, sat next to Putin, because he goes, these guys are out to get me. At least Putin tells me he's out to get me.
Well,
you know, this guy,
and he's not wrong.
Side.
That's the thing. That's why these reports are suspect, because we've seen this, you know, time and time again with the New York Times and with CBS, with NBC, et cetera. So that's why I found the response this morning appropriate. Now, how about this? I guess she's a vice mayor in this city outside of L.A. in L.A. County who's cheering on the gangs to fight against ICE.
And now that your hood's being invaded by the biggest gang there is, there ain't a peep out of you. Where you at? They're running amok all up in your street.
That was a post from last week. She took it down, but that's quite something, isn't it?
That is. Can you imagine that, calling on gangs to go after ICE? And you're vice mayor of a small town in Los Angeles? But believe me, that's the attitude. ICE is the problem. I mean, think about this. The Dodgers paid $1 million. Why? Why did the Dodgers pay $1 million to illegal immigrants? Because they're worried about the Hispanic crowd. Will you stop with the extortion? Stop with the threats. This woman's a criminal. Obviously, she's talking in her gang slang, so this is not something that she's new to. Either that, or she's an actress, which I understand there's a lot of out of work actresses in Los Angeles,
right,
in the film industry. I just had to add one other thing about the previous comment. The Iranians said their program's been devastated. So wouldn't you lead with that story if you're CNN? And maybe say, by the way, the first intelligence agency with low confidence using satellite images said we might not have done as much damage as originally thought. So that's why Trump goes crazy. And by the way, you know, it is, if you look at the satellite video, just us amateurs, you know, the normal people can understand destruction. It looks like they nailed it, and it looks like they freaked the Iranians the heck out, because the Iranians want to talk now without any demands. This thing could have changed the whole culture, the balance of power in the Middle East, and at least acknowledge that.
Yeah, well, the instincts are otherwise, and that's why that was pointed out this morning. What's coming up on Sunday night? One Nation with Brian Kilmeade. It airs here 9 p.m. Central Time.
You know what? I'm still working on it. I don't know if these are going to be the two big stories, but I think I'm going to add the Big Beautiful Bill and, as another topic, Harvard. Harvard and the government are working hard towards a remedy. I talked to Jay Johnson. He's joining Columbia today this week, the former Homeland Security Secretary for Barack Obama. He's working with Columbia. It looks like there could be an elite college detente with the administration, thinking about taking that on too. So we'll see what the major stories are. More than likely, this will be one of those shows which I got to do live, which is fine with me.
Well, it seems like these days, every show you have to do live because things are changing so very quickly. Brian, great to catch up. Thank you. Have a great weekend, and we'll see the show on Sunday night.
All right, go get him.
Brian Kilmeade for his weekly visit. Hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey is with us in studio coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Emma Grade, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Grade, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We have a Wednesday edition of Sue's News coming up in the next hour. I have a few things I want to toss out at 4 o'clock, as we often do. You know, we have this food thing. Fred has discovered some unique foods, Sue, and he has brought them to the table. We were going to do that today, but we were thinking because Jane's going to be here on Friday, we might hold off because she's like the good source for sampling and taste tests and stuff like that.
And we use the term food loosely
in this case, I think we do. Yesterday, I had Mike Kehoe on the phone talking about a bunch of different things, including the special session and everything that went on there. And, you know, we have tornado relief that was certainly something that affected Missouri. We have the Attorney General on today. It's a big week here for state officials, Andrew Bailey. But here's the difference. He's with us in the studio this afternoon, Andrew, and I appreciate you coming to see me in person. How are you?
Hey, doing well, Mark. Thanks for having me on. Thanks for having me in studio.
I did mention this to the governor last night. You know, you guys were both so great in February to host me. I came up to Jeff City. You showed me around your office and the building, and the governor, you know, took some time with me. I was thinking about that this week because I can't believe that was that many months ago. It was February.
It was cold then. It's
it was
like
very cold.
Hot now,
it was a snowstorm day, remember?
That's right. Yeah, but when are you coming back? That's my question.
Well, I would love to get back. I know how busy you are, so let's talk about some of these things. Let me play the audio here. I don't think you have headphones on, but I think you know what Alfred Montgomery has said, and you're asking for him to resign, the sheriff of St. Louis. Here's his defiant response.
Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey issued a public demand for my resignation by noon tomorrow. Not based on proven facts, not based on any court ruling, but on what's been described as widely published and disturbing allegations.
Well, there are disturbing allegations, but he's being defiant.
I was elected by the people of the city of St. Louis to serve as their sheriff, and I intend to honor that commitment. I will continue to do my duties as the sheriff and protecting the courts. Thank you.
All right, so there he is, Andrew. Now, this guy has been accused of so many different things. I will say this. I criticized the Post-Dispatch, but Joe Holloman at the Post has been pretty good at exposing a lot of this. By the way, the best defense that I've seen from a member of the Board of Aldermen, Rasheen Aldred, says, I don't know that it rises to the level that the state needs to step in and tell him to resign. I mean, he didn't steal money or anything. That's the best defense that they have.
Wow.
But essentially, he kind of has stolen resources, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. And look, this level of defiance, I mean, we heard the same thing from Kim Gardner after he filed the same lawsuit against her, right? And then days after she was thundering from the pulpit, she hit the eject button and was gone. We're going to see the same thing happen here. We have six credible allegations backed up by facts, evidence, more than 80 pages in our petition that we filed at 12:01 p.m. today.
Oh, gosh.
More than 140 individually numbered paragraphs that outline all of the facts and all of the evidence. And it's all evidence that we are in possession of that we will put on a trial if we have to get to that point. But look, let me say this as well. If you notice what he didn't say at his press conference yesterday, he never denied all of the allegations that are in the public domain. That's consciousness of guilt. Number two, he's admitted to most of them. In his social media posts and in his interviews, he has conceded all of these points. His own words, his own statements against interest, which get a higher level of veracity imputed to them in court, work against him and prove the allegations. So at the end of the day, it is time for him to go so we can restore the rule of law in the public corruption. And the people of St. Louis deserve faith and confidence in the institutions of public government. As long as he's in office, that can't happen.
You know, it's amazing to me that people are trying to defend this, but I guess that's the pattern here in St. Louis. But in your mind, because he has been investigated for ordering the handcuffing of a jail official, he rolled golden dice on one deputy to say, you're going to have your job or you're not going to have your job. He has had a deputy pick up his kids from school. He bought a nice SUV for himself as well, $12,000 worth of golf carts. Now, they were used. I give him credit on that one, $28,000 in new badges. So for you, is it a culmination of everything, or is there something that really jumps out and inspired you to get involved in this particular situation?
Any one of the claims we've raised individually warrants his removal from office, but the cumulative effect creates a timeline that we have to move this quickly. It's time for him to go. Let's talk about that illegal arrest. The sheriff of St. Louis City does not perform normal law enforcement functions like 114 other sheriffs in the state of Missouri.
Right.
They are explicitly prohibited in section 57.450 to not enforce the criminal code of the state of Missouri.
I knew it was that number, by the way. I knew that number off the top of my head.
But the point is, it's not that just that he's exceeded the scope of his authority. He's violating the statutes that restrict his authority. When you're cuffing a jail administrator who's tasked with keeping the inmates safe and keeping us safe from the inmates, he is interfering with the administration of justice, committing a felonious restraint kidnapping, and putting the rest of his at risk. Not only is it illegal, but it is worse because of the individual that he cuffed. Let's go to the other instance in which he arrested an individual, a licensed security guard whom he disarmed in violation of that individual's constitutional right to keep and bear arms, who was performing a licensed security guard function in the city of St. Louis. I mean, again, this guy is detrimental to the criminal justice system and public safety in St. Louis.
So what's the process? He does not resign today at noon. He's being defined. He held the press conference yesterday. Some members, the wacky members of the board, are sort of, I think they're even a little challenged on defending him. So what's the process now?
So we filed the writ of quo warranto. That's the removal lawsuit. It's pending. You know, I anticipate that all the judges here in the city of St. Louis, and rightfully, will recuse themselves. The Missouri Supreme Court will be tasked with appointing a new judge to preside over the case. And we have a petition pending right now, not only our, you know, six-count petition, but we've got a proposed order requesting the judge to sign for immediate removal, where he will be sidelined and removed from office and pending adjudication.
Who gets put in?
Well, that's a great question.
Yeah, and so, you know, there's a couple things there. Number one, you know, I think the court would likely identify a point of contact that they can use because the courts depend on the sheriff's office to assist them in the administration of justice and secure the courthouse and their courtrooms. But number two, this has been a legal dispute that we adjudicated in St. Louis County when Wesley Bell was elected to Congress and Sam Page said he gets to appoint pursuant to the county charter. And Governor Parson and I said, no, there's a state statute on the books. We litigated that and we won. And what the court said there is, I think, relevant. But, you know, I would defer to Governor Kehoe, and I've been in constant contact with Governor Kehoe's office, and I'm certain that he's in constant contact with the mayor, and we won't get to that point of litigation. An appropriate appointing authority will be identified who will appoint a successor to Sheriff Montgomery.
Yeah, like I can't remember if the mayor was quoted in here, but I'm guessing she thinks, do you know independently if she thinks it's time for him to go? I would think so.
I mean, the mayor's busy trying to recover St. Louis from not only years of neglect, but from tornado, and how dare this sheriff, you know, interfere and create all these distractions and problems when the city is on the precipice of some really great forward progress and needs that time to recover.
Yesterday was the 53rd anniversary of Title IX. And I was not here last week to comment on this, but we, of course, covered in grand detail, not only with you, but Jamie Reed, the whistleblower from WashU and Children's Hospital, this transgender issue in the Supreme Court. What a victory for you, for Missouri, for the country on that topic last week with the Supremes, Andy. Andrew.
Yeah, and Mark, you've been on this story from day one.
From the beginning.
I applaud your work on this, illuminating this for the public and your listening audience. Missouri led the way. Jamie Reed came forward and started a national conversation. My office launched a first-of-its-kind multi-agency investigation, called for the moratorium, promulgated a rule just to try to inject some kind of sanity to prevent the administration of these powerful chemicals that are harming kids, irreversible surgeries that would deny them the ability to ever enjoy the full spectrum of adulthood, stop the gender mutilation. Ultimately, the General Assembly passed Senate Bill 49. My office successfully defended that statute at the trial court level against constitutional challenge. To date, we're the only state that successfully defended a statute like that at the trial court level. Supreme Court comes down last week and says, look, states have a rational basis to protect kids from gender mutilation. It is not sex-based discrimination to say you can't harm kids by administering dangerous drugs that have no proven validity to work to cure what they purport to
ail. It was such a no-brainer in common sense. But now you have a situation, I don't know if you follow this, California, a judge has ruled that California violated the civil rights of female students by allowing trans athletes to compete. So that's sort of a separate but related type issue.
Yeah.
But I read this story in the LA Times this morning, and the response by the officials who are defending it is really just comical. It says, you know, the school board president out there said that the department's finding does not protect women and girls. It harms them. That barring transgender students from participating in sports based on the president of the United States deciding who is woman enough is both discriminatory and unjust. Look, this is, as I've said, not an 80-20 issue. It's a 90-10 issue. Overwhelming numbers of Democrats, even Gavin Newsom, has had to admit this. So, but that's not something Missouri's involved in. In that case, does that have to eventually go to the Supreme Court as well?
If it does, we'll be prepared to offer
support.
Yeah, yeah. Look, at the end of the day, celebrating that 50-year anniversary of Title IX, that is a major landmark civil rights piece of legislation to protect women.
That's the whole point.
Protect the whole point. And how dare these activist clowns try to erase womanhood from our vocabulary, from very existence. And that's what they're trying to do by inverting the language. It's not the president who has declared this. It's the people's elected representatives in Congress 50 years ago. And the president's just supporting what the law says.
I was amazed. It's been so busy. And I was out last week, as I indicated. I did a couple of weeks ago cover like this little battle between Riley Gaines and Simone Biles. And I don't know if you followed that. But Simone Biles, I guess, deleted Sue, her ex page, because she comes out. And she swiped at Riley Gaines, and she lost that battle altogether. And she lost a lot of support because of her position on that. She tried to apologize, but that indicates to me how popular our side of this equation really is in all of this.
Yeah, the worm has turned, and it's really turned in the last 24, 28 months, I would say. And again, Missouri was leading the nation in that conversation, and I'm proud of the work we've done, and I appreciate you covering
Jamie Reed was so important, because I had been talking about this issue well before anything happened with the whistleblower report, but that really vindicated a lot of what some of us were saying. One other issue before I let you go is you're calling for third-party content moderators when it comes to social media. What is that all about, and how would that work?
There's an unprecedented, historically unprecedented consolidation and concentration of power in Silicon Valley, where they hold a monopoly over the algorithms that censor speech on big tech social media platforms. President Trump has ended, our lawsuit ended the vast censorship regime emanating from the federal government, but we still have to worry about corporate censorship. That it's more pernicious than at any point in human history, because when King George shut down a printing press in the colonies, he was stifling one form of speech, the written word, and the whole world knew he had done it. But when big tech social media oligarchs turn the dials and deplatform, de-emphasize, shadow ban you, it's not only your First Amendment right to speech that's violated, but your listeners who want to hear from your audience. And it's a multidimensional form of speech, body language, images, written, spoken word. And so we've got to fight back. The way to do that is to break up the monopoly. And we're not telling the big tech social media platforms how they should curate the feeds. That would be a violation of their First Amendment rights, as identified in the net choice decision that came down last June from the United States Supreme Court.
But you're saying they need to have someone
just
that
provide
does that.
Consumers
right.
options. Let me choose. If I want the NRA to moderate the content, to feed me information that I like because my values align with them, or if I want the Catholic Church to do that, then I should have those options. And if I want PETA or some left-wing organization to do it, then our colleagues on the other side can do that as well. But the point is, it enhances the consumer experience, and so it's a consumer protection issue, it's an antitrust issue, and it's the best way we have to build a wall around our right to free speech.
So
on big tech.
Is this a specific Missouri issue, or is this another one of those things where a bunch of states are involved?
This is a Missouri thing.
Okay.
So we are the first governmental entity to my knowledge, in the world that has proposed this kind of drastic action. And again, we're not violating the big tech social media First Amendment rights as identified in the choice decisions. I always see these brilliant legal minds who have never actually read our proposed rule opining that we're running afoul of the net choice decision when I question whether they've read either one.
Likely not.
Yeah, likely not. And the point is, like, look, we're not telling them how to curate their feeds. We're just telling them to give us the opportunity to select who we want to curate our feeds.
And what is the process then on that?
So the rule has been promulgated. It'll go into effect here in the coming days. I'm certain that the big tech social media companies will likely want to litigate that issue and our authority to promulgate that rule. But in 2015, the Missouri Supreme Court handed down a decision that said that the Attorney General's office has broad consumer protection authority to promulgate rules to protect against exactly this sort of thing, against this kind of concentration of power that harms consumers.
Excellent. Great to see you, Andrew Bailey. Hopefully this is not revealing too much because we know each other a little bit, and every once in a while I get a text message. I got a great text message a couple of Fridays ago because I think you were listening to the Reardon Roundtable on that day. That's must listen to radio. Even the Attorney General of Missouri agrees with that. Great to see you in person. Thanks for swinging by. I appreciate it. Keep us posted on all this. Every day I get to the end of the show, and you know, we do this feature audio cut of the day, and I sometimes don't get to play a lot of the gems, and sometimes I tell Ethan and Fred, hey, let's put that in the next day. And I even have some stuff, you know, so I referred to Riley Gaines. I have some really good Riley Gaines audio from yesterday that I never got to. But in the open, I was going to run this from Scott Jennings on CNN last night. I've been watching a lot more of that live just because, like, after the Cardinals game, I'm tuning into CNN. Their audience is still very, very small, but, you know, Scott's doing a great job with the panel. And last night, he had Neera Tanden on. He called her the queen of the auto pen. She has worked in a couple of different administrations. And are these questions about how much Trump knows about the particulars of the military operation and how effective that they were. But when he spikes the ball on CNN, he really spikes the ball. And this was the conversation from last night.
Really kind of disturbing thing on basic information. On some political issue, I totally understand. I can even understand perhaps plausible deniability about Signalgate. But I think on national security issues, like issues where soldiers are possibly lost, it is pretty inexcusable that he has not been briefed and he can't speak to it.
And what's worse, a president not having all the information he needs to make a legitimate comment, so he holds back in the moment before being ready to make a comment, or, I don't know, willfully lying to the American people about the condition of the President of the United States, which went on for 4 years in this country by all
that
of your colleagues.
That is totally wrong.
So I'm going to play a little bit more of this, but what's interesting is they had a hearing yesterday, and that woman right there, as Jennings calls her, the queen of the auto pen, Neera Tanden, was testifying before the Oversight Committee, and she says she was authorized to use the auto pen. So there are some, you know, particular legal questions about whether they can go after those particular, you know, signatures and overturn them. I think that's a little cloudy out there right now. But she seems to want to deny that Biden was competent and cognizant enough to even make the decisions.
Wrong. That What's is worse? Totally wrong.
I hope you read all the books that are coming out. I hope you read all the books that are coming out.
Joe Biden, when asked about soldiers lost, was briefed and said it. And so you think Joe Biden had problems? At least he was able to do that. What's the excuse for Donald Trump if he's so capable?
I'm just saying.
I mean,
you guys
I don't
are
know
upset
if you're
that,
judge,
that Trump, that
if
Trump
you're
is exhibiting some, I want to get more facts, and I'm going to be lectured by the people who lied to the American people about the condition of the president?
Oh, my God.
No way.
No, but
not gonna take
that's,
it.
First of all, that's outrageous.
Is
that's
it?
Outrageous. Yes, it is.
You think
I did
the truth
not lie.
Was told? You think the truth was told?
See, these are very valid questions. And he referenced the book. Obviously, Scott's writing a book as well. It's not going to come out until later this year. Celina Zito's book comes out, I think, in 2 weeks. But, you know, you have two people in Alex Thompson and Jake Tapper, three people, because David Zweig's book, An Abundance of Caution, really goes into some of the lies that were told on the COVID front. So you have a lot of COVID lies. I still think that that's being undercovered, which is why I mention David all the time. But it's not even in dispute how out of it this former president was and had no idea what the hell he was doing for all this time, raising the question, who the hell was running the country? They want to move past that. I'm sorry. Jim Comer and the Oversight Committee, they don't want to move past. I don't want to move past that because there are a lot of things happening right now that deserve attention, but that deserves attention. And one thing we know is if this were the case with Donald Trump, and I hope it doesn't get to the point where he does not have the ability to be mentally competent because they want to, you know, cite his age. He's showing no signs of that right now, but they want to act And CNN wants to act like this never even happened.
I will say, did the White House tell the truth? I will look forward to this discussion.
Do you all believe the truth was told about Biden?
Scott, do you want government or do you want your lick back? Because even if all of that happened in the past, we're in the present now. So we need a president that is capable of.
And so what he said, I don't know. What did it hurt your life that he said, I don't know?
Biden did it.
Sure, I can.
Of course
I can.
For 4 years.
I absolutely can.
The country to move forward.
I 100% can.
You cannot.
Biden wrote it for 4 years on Trump, and Obama wrote it for 8 years on George W. Bush. You're damn right.
Yeah, there you go. That's the part I wanted to get in there. And there's no doubt about that. They did. They went to George W. Bush, you know, time and time again. Now, I'm not, you know, this could be decided or determined to be whataboutism. But I think it's fair when they're picking around the edges on Trump for simply not knowing a piece of information when Joe Biden didn't even know what was happening around him. And one of the things I think we've learned this week, look, these guys have, you know, stood strong. Hegseth and Rubio, and even if you want to go to Scott Bessent and some of the other members of the cabinet, they have been very strong around the president, and the communication level has been unbelievable. We had KJP that went up there how many times? Time and time again, lying to the American people. Now she's got her own book coming out. It's ridiculous. It deserves attention. Neera Tanden, I love that he calls her the queen of the auto pen. That was weak last night, and congratulations once again to Mr. Jennings for spiking the ball. We got a Wednesday edition of Sue's News just around the corner.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
I'm Emma Grade, and I've spent the last 20 years building, running, and investing in some incredible businesses. The more success I've had, the more people started coming to me with questions. How do you start a business? How do you raise money? How do I bounce back from failure? On my new podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, I'll be answering these questions and more through weekly conversations with the smartest minds out there. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.